Thank you for joining us today for the Oakwood Baptist Church podcast. This episode was recorded at the Home Builder Sunday School class, which Pastor Jones teaches at Oakwood. The series is entitled, A Biblical View of Culture.
1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it just says this, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Certainly a good portion of scripture to memorize those first two words, flee fornication. I find it interesting when you pay attention to the language of scripture, it doesn't say fight fornication. I think that's interesting. It says, just get away from it. Get away from it. And I want to talk to you about a very, very important subject. Remember, we're navigating through the culture. And so I want to talk to you about the subject of pornography this morning, okay? Because it is a battle to fight. And it's something we want to keep far, far away from our families and our homes, our children, ourselves. And so let's talk about it. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us a great services today. Help us have wonderful fellowship and great worship as we look to you. And equip us and help us and guide us through this culture. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. In fact, it's bad timing, I suppose, on the parents of teenagers not being in here, because I really wish they were, especially for this lesson. It's just what, I don't know, it's just the way it worked out. But Josh McDowell said, the question is not, will my kids see porn, but how will they handle it when they do? I mean, that's what he said. That's kind of a scary statement that he made, but it's also a sobering statement and something to think about. I'll read it to you again. The question is not, will my kids see porn, but how will they handle it when they do? See, what that question is teaching us or suggesting to us is that many people are going to seek it out, but even if you're not looking for it, it's looking for you. And it really is. Covenant Eyes is a group. They help with filtering and things like that, and so they're really on top of this subject. They say, and again, statistics, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but remember, statistics can be manipulated. We know that. And statistics aren't everything, but they're just trying to get you to think a little bit. They say that 90% of boys and 60% of girls say they have been exposed to pornography before the age of 18. 90% of boys, 60% of girls. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admit to watching pornography at least once a month. I almost read that statistic and I say, that cannot be true. But that's what Covenant Eyes reports. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women admit to watching pornography at least once a month. One out of every 8 online searches and one out of every 5 mobile searches is for pornography. I believe that statistic. 1 out of 8 online searches, 1 out of 5. I believe that. Because I'm told pornography takes up 1/3 of the internet's bandwidth. And I believe that. I really do. The mores, you understand when we say mores, that means customs and conventions of a society. So, you know, every society has its moral normatives, and we call those mores. The mores of America have changed about this issue of pornography. If you think about it, I think you would agree with this. Teenagers and young adults probably think it's more immoral to refrain from recycling than it is to view pornography. You know what I mean? Like you're a real scumbag if you don't recycle your aluminum cans, but if you watch pornography, I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of normal. Right? I mean, that's kind of where our culture is in a lot of ways. And I believe that it has turned from a problem to an epidemic. And a lot of that is because of the smartphone. I mean, growing up, again, back to Josh McDowell's statement, it's not will they see it, but how will they respond when they do. I can remember as a teenager, or not as a teenager, as a young kid, you would wander around in the woods in our area. You could find some crates and beer cans out there, maybe some magazine or something like that. You'd have to, like, slink behind a back alley to find these kind of things. Now, it's way, way more hardcore, and it's in your pocket. And so we want to talk about that. Okay, and I know the subject is a little uncomfortable, but what I'm afraid of is that most ministries don't really want to address it or talk about. I mean, who does? It's not fun to talk about, but it needs to be addressed. I want to expose a couple of lies and then get into some practical things, okay? Here's lie number one. This is a lie. Remember, the devil is a liar, and he's the father of lies. He's a liar. And our culture has been fed lies and believes lies about this subject. And here's lie number one, that pornography is a harmless expression of human sexuality. That's kind of what we're being told in our culture. Like, hey, it's just, sex is normal, and this is a normal expression of that, and what's the big deal? And I'm telling you, that's a lie. We are often told that pornography is just another legitimate avenue of sexual expression. And again, that's a lie. Why is it a lie? Think about this. Pornography is highly addictive. Highly addictive. You understand your brain is like a giant computer. And your brain has sensors, and it creates channels. It's like this morning, I hope when you got up, you brushed your teeth. I'm an advocate for that. Okay, so I hope you brushed your teeth. I did brush mine. I'm right-handed, so I don't think about it. I grab the toothbrush with my right hand. I put toothpaste on it. I probably, if I think long and hard, I'd probably grab the toothbrush with my left hand, put toothpaste on with my right, switch to my right, and brush my teeth. I have tried to brush my teeth with my left hand before. I'm told that if you do things like that, it sharpens your mind. So I tried brushing my teeth with my left hand for a couple of days. I quit doing that. You're like stabbing yourself in the. I mean, it's like, and it's really weird, okay? So I'm right. Listen, I don't ever think about at all brushing my teeth. I have a channel in my brain that has it's been trained. It just works that way. Think about it. If you took your pen and start and just signed your name, you most of the time you don't even think about it. There's a channel in your brain, and you can rewire your brain through a lot of training and different things like that. We call them habits, but your brain is this computer. Well, you've got to understand that they've done studies on the brain to see. I read a book on this subject called Wired for Intimacy. It's very neurological, so it wasn't the best book I've read on this subject, but it was very neurological. And they said that they did brain scans on someone who was addicted to crack cocaine, addicted to pornography, and addicted to video games, and there was zero difference in the brain scans. Like, you could not tell the difference for which is which. And again, you know, you say video games? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I'm just telling you, for the underdeveloped brain of a young person, the addictive consequences of pornography can be lifelong. It's highly addictive. Number two, it has serious personal ramifications. So we're still talking about how it's the lie that it is a harmless expression of human sexuality. It can have serious personal ramifications. What do you mean? I mean this. It distorts attitudes about sex and leads to increased permissiveness and risky behavior. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But that's what happens. Let me say more to this crowd. Let me just elaborate very quickly on that statement. It distorts attitudes about sexuality and leads to increased permissiveness and risky behavior. Listen, here's what I'm telling you. That's why people, maybe even in ministry, fall into things like prostitution. This is where that kind of stuff starts. It leads to permissiveness and risky behavior. And to sit here and say, that'll never happen to me. Yeah, Peter said that once. And Jesus said, yeah, before 24 hours are up, you're not going to just do that once, you're going to do it three times. So we all should know we should never say what we'll never do, right? I know that was a shocker of a statement, but it's true. Here's the thing. It decreases marital satisfaction and breaks down trust between spouses. This is very hard to have a good relationship where you don't have trust of any sort. That's why in our home, lying has not been tolerated, because you can't have a good relationship without trust. Well, this breaks down the trust. It decreases marital satisfaction. Do you know, I believe that that's why God's design is perfect. The world is trying to find sexual satisfaction in places where it cannot and will never. But if you follow God's plan, which is moral purity before marriage and moral exclusivity after marriage, you find satisfaction in what the world never can, because there's an innocence to it. And there's where you find your satisfaction, in the relational aspect and the innocence of it. This destroys that. It also leaves people with perpetual feelings of shame and guilt. Listen, anybody that has an addiction in their life, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or this subject, they know what they're doing is wrong. They know what they're doing is harmful. They want to stop, but they struggle to do it. And so they go through a cycle, right? They're tempted, they want it, they tempted and want it. And so then they do it to get that relief of that tension. And then immediately after they experience that euphoria of that relief of that tension, then immediately they fall into shame and guilt. And then they say, I'm never going to do that again. And they just go through this cycle over and over and over. All right, let's move on. Lie number two. Here's the lie. Pornography is a personal matter, and it's really no one's business what people do in their private lives. Have we not heard that over and over again? Remember, I remember that became, it seems like that became very much talked about with Bill Clinton and his scandal. You know, what they do in their private life, what they do in their bedroom, that's none of our business. And I understand what we're talking about, privacy. I get that. But I'm just simply saying, it's not just limited to, hey, this is a personal thing, because the consequences of pornography are not limited to the individual. I mean, think about it. It does fuel sex trafficking. And that's kind of become a more hot button topic today, where people, I mean, I have a friend who retired. He was a ranger in the military and retired. I mean, this guy's a decorated soldier, a really, really tough guy. And he retired, career military guy. And he said, man, I'm still young. I still got some energy in me. And he said, I want to do something to help people who were involved in got stuck in sex trafficking. Well, I mean, that's become a popular thing. But where did that all come from? I think this is fueled by pornography. It certainly leads to increased violence and sexual aggression. It exploits and objectifies women and children. I personally do not understand the logic of the feminist movement that is like okay with pornography and those kind of things, because hey, it's a woman can do what a woman wants to do, it's her body, why go and not make money off of it or something like that, but then turn around and be opposed to the objectification of women. But it doesn't make sense. But that it certainly exploits and objectifies women and children. And I will tell you this, just on a more practical level, in our particular world, it produces broken marriages and families. These lies are being perpetuated, and it's another reason why the wonder of God's redemption needs to be continually proclaimed. It's why we need to be saved and why we need the Holy Spirit, because we need to be helped. Remember, Genesis reminds us that we were created for relationship. I tell you this often. God created Adam unlike any other creation. He breathed in him, his nostrils the breath of life. Why? So that Adam could fellowship with his creator. And he said, it's not good that you're by yourself. And so he gave him a wife. And he gave him the first commandment, be fruitful, multiply. And they created a family. And those families had other families. And those families became communities. And then governments and different nations were born out of this. And all of that is relationships. But sin has messed all of that up. And so because of what Jesus has done for us, how he died on the cross, how he rose from the dead, how we put our faith in him and we've been born again, not reformed, but regenerated. And now we have a relationship with him. And so the Bible is telling us through Christ, we need to have a proper relationship with God. And I'm speaking to saved people this morning that testify of Christ. And that's good that we have this relationship that's reestablished here through our new birth in Christ. But we also are to be properly related to one another. And remember, this is a couples class, and so sexuality is an important aspect of human connection. And here's what our world continually misses when it comes to this subject. that sexuality is intrinsically relational. I want to say that again. It is intrinsically relational. And see, our world has hookup apps and one-night stands and live-ins and all kinds of things, and they're missing the boat on this subject. See, sexuality was intended to be experienced not in isolation, but in a one-flesh union between husband and wife. And Genesis 2 is very clear about that. And so what pornography does is it severs our sexuality from the relational context. I want to remind you again that God is clear in His prohibition against all forms of fornication. That's what we read. Flee fornication. Remember, fornication is any sexual sin. So this would include anything that you can think of that would be a perversion from what God created. And the Bible is clear about its stance on that. I want to remind you, and there are many things that we could say and maybe need to say as we define marriage in our culture, but I want to reiterate this. Marriage, as God defines it, is moral purity before marriage and moral exclusivity after marriage. Now, if you violated that, and I want to just throw this caveat in there, if you have violated any aspect of that, listen to me, be reminded, what's in the past is in the past. And I'm glad that if we confess our sins and forsake our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need to move forward in these things. And I want to be very clear about that, that it's not, I'm not wagging the finger, I'm trying to equip the saints. So remember that God is not against sex. You don't have to look any further than the Song of Solomon to realize that. You know, I remember growing up, a lot of people would say that the Song of Solomon was about Christ and the church. I don't believe that. Have you read it? I mean, if that's about Christ and the church, that seems really strange to me, because it sure sounds like a husband and his wife to me. I mean, I remember one guy came up to me after church one time, this has been years ago, and he said, somebody in this community told me you don't preach all the Bible. I said, I don't preach all the Bible. He said, yeah, there's some parts of the Bible you don't want to preach. He said, is there some parts of the Bible you don't want to preach? I said, well, I'm kind of hesitant to preach Song of Solomon. And what had happened is some charismatic had told him that I don't preach Acts chapter 2. And I was like, well, actually, I've preached through the entire book of Acts, verse by verse, expositionally. I do preach Acts 2, but I try and stay away from Song of Solomon, though, you know. And I, as a goal, I want to preach through every book in the Bible before I die. I would like to do that. But I think the last one I do will probably be Song of Solomon. But I'm just saying, God is not against sex. He created it and He taught us about it. So what are we supposed to do then? I mean, what are we supposed to do about this issue? Because it, like a tidal wave, has blown through our culture. And, you can say what you want, but technology as it is not going anywhere. And the cell phone issue I'm sure something else may come along, but I mean, it is here, and you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. Now, you can be look, I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan. I grew up in Cincinnati, and one of our better players, Nick Castellanos, he made the All-Star team. He's an outfielder, and he made headlines because he felt that his phone was taking up too much of his attention. And here is a multimillionaire, All-Star professional baseball player who got rid of his phone and has a flip phone. They were making fun of him. He's like, well, I just don't want to waste my time. I don't necessarily think he's a Christian man. He doesn't seem to be necessarily. But, I mean, again, I think we could go that route. I'm not saying you need to. I'm just saying I want to give you some practical things of what I really do believe you should do. All right, number one, wake up. You cannot ignore this issue. You cannot. Listen, if you are... even if you're not a parent in here, if you're saying, oh, that'll never happen to me, that'll never happen to my kids, that'll never happen to my family, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall, right? I mean, you cannot be like Peter and say, I tell you what, that's for other people, that'll never happen to me. We have to wake up about this issue. Number two, confront your own problem first. Remember, Jesus told us about that. He did not tell us, and we'll see this in the message this morning a little bit, He did not tell us, don't judge. Now, I'm sure you've heard somebody tell you that. Oh, the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. See, it says, no, read the Bible. The Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So, it says, judge righteous judgment. You have to make judgment calls. And so when Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged, what he was saying is, when you make a judgment, you better make sure that you have taken care of yourself first. Because if I tell you, listen, you fellas, you should not wear gray suits and purple ties to church. What are you thinking if you wear a gray suit and a purple tie to church? As I look around this room, I'm so glad that none of you this morning wore a gray suit and a purple tie to church. Shame on you if you did, right? Jesus says, get the beam out of your own eye before you take care of the speck out of somebody else's eye, right? So you've got to first confront your own problem first. Confess your habit to God. And I'm going to make a little statement that's a hard one. Confess your sins and your habit to God and to others. Say, what do you mean by that? Listen, if this is a struggle in your life, it is a very private issue in a lot of ways. And so because of that, we are very, very, very hesitant to get help that we may need. And I say, get help and counseling immediately. All right, number three, take preemptive action. I'm not trying to scare you. I don't want you to freak out. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So we ought to put on the armor of God and be very well equipped to deal with this. We don't need to be terrified. We just need to be vigilant, the Bible says, sober. Why? Because our adversary, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So let's be awake and let's confront this problem. So thirdly, take preemptive action. Do not wait until you discover pornography in your kids' lives. Haven't you heard me say this to you before? I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I'm trying to equip you and help you. The average age of exposure to a young man to pornography is 11. When I heard that, that shocked me. And that made me, I've told you this. It made me, you do what's best for your family. I'm not telling you what to do in your family. You know your family. You know your kids. It just made me say, I want them to hear it from me. I don't want them to hear it for, that's the last thing I want them to do is Google this. And I don't want them to hear it from some older teenager. I want them to hear it from me. And so we made sure that we did that. We took preemptive action. I'm telling you, I'm trying to encourage you. Our kids do not have to be a statistic. I'll quote Josh McDowell again. He said this, I would rather put a fence at the top of a cliff than an ambulance at the bottom. Now, again, our kids might fall off the cliff. And let's have an ambulance down at the bottom. But what I'm telling you is let's put a fence up at the top and try and protect them a little bit. So what's some preemptive things that we can do? Well, I already mentioned one. Talk to them about it at the appropriate time. I mean, obviously, if you got a three-year-old in the home, you don't need to be having to talk now. I don't think that's going to help too much. But be preemptive about talking to them about it. Let them know that you are willing and able to answer any question they may have. And it's uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. Many of you have been through that before. But the second thing I would tell you is filtering. I believe you should filter every device in your home. I mentioned Covenant Eyes. Our family uses that. It's on every one of our devices. It's on our computers. It's on our cell phones. It's on our tablets. It's on everything. And what it does is it blocks bad content. But again, you know how it is. Somebody can always sneak around some fence, something. But we're doing the best that we can. We've got a filter and a block. But the other thing I like about it is it sends a report to an accountability partner. Okay, so for me, I have another man who's a good friend in my life that gets all of my activity. Everything I Google search, everything I look at on a website, everything goes to him and he can see it. And he can say, hey, I saw this. What's that about? I have accountability to him. And let me tell you, it's really good when you know that it's going to block bad things. But also, if I am tempted to do something I shouldn't, somebody else is going to see it. Now, that deters a lot of bad behavior. For my own children, those reports come to me and come to Mindy, and we can see all of that. So every computer, And I'll give you, you know, you can look it up. Covenant Eyes is the one we use. I mean, there are others out there. Net Nanny is another one. I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm sure there are others. Anybody else in here use something different besides Covenant Eyes or Net Nanny? Okay. What's that? Accountable to You is another one. Okay. I'm not familiar with that one, but there are great resources out there. And I hope when I asked about it that it's because you're using the same ones, because I mean, I really believe you ought to have filtering on this. Because I want to go back to that statement that I made earlier. Even if you're not looking for it, it's looking for you. Okay, so you want to protect yourself. The third thing I'd put is monitoring. So same thing. I mean, you know, I hope you're looking at histories. Histories can be deleted and things like that, but monitoring. I talked about accountability. Some of these filtering resources will help you with that. And then restrictions. You know, there are a lot of parental controls, restrictions. Even restrictions on consumption is good. Just constantly sitting here and mindlessly doing things, I don't know how great that is for us. I just had to put some restrictions on my own children. I laid down the law, hey, Sunday is a no phone day. It's a Sabbath day, all right? We're taking a rest from that. So don't touch it or I'll kill you. You know, that kind of thing. So, number four, expose the darkness of the porn industry. You know, the truth is, it is an industry filled with sexually transmitted diseases, prostitution, drug abuse, emotional and physical abuse. It's not as harmless as our world likes to paint it to be. Number five, and I've got to hurry here, initiate conversations about it. And when I say that, I'm not just talking, I talked earlier about having the conversation with your kids. I'm talking about this subject. Like, here's some good questions. Do you know what pornography is? Have you viewed it before? Do your friends talk about it? Do you have any friends that watch it? What do you think about it? Do you think it's harmless? Do you think it's harmful? Why? Did you notice something about every question I just asked? Did anybody notice anything about it? They're open-ended questions, aren't they? And open-ended questions, remember, these are questions that really aren't answered yes or no. Because a teenager would love to just say, yes, no, I mean, you're trying to get, you're trying to dialogue with them. That's very important. Here, let me give you some advice about this too. Don't make it an interrogation. Make it a conversation. That's important. I got to hurry. Paint a vivid picture of the consequences of it. Number seven, be ready to respond with forgiveness and grace. Listen to something that has touched your marriage. Be ready to respond with forgiveness and grace. If a teenager comes to you and says, hey, I messed up, I'm struggling with this, be ready to respond with forgiveness and grace. That's the way Christ would respond. That's the way we have to respond. And lastly, love your spouse and your children. Can I tell you the best defense against pornography is a close family? Spend a lot of time together. Worship together. Can I just give a plug for this as we close up here? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. But find a local church and plug into it. And make it a priority in your life. That is going to be a tremendous help to your family and safeguarding it. It's not the end-all, be-all. Christ is the answer, not the church. But Christ uses the church. Plug in. I promise you, people that attend church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they are not problem-free, but they have less problems and less frequent problems and less major problems. I can tell you that for sure. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being in Sunday school this morning. Please pray for the service. Let's have a great service together. So glad that you're here today. It's good to be back and worship with you. You're dismissed.